Liberty in our lifetimes in a free state of our own. That's the vision. That's the dream. We are building it in New Hampshire. I'm Eric Brakey, your host and renegade statesman for the Porcupine Report. Welcome to your source for porcupine news and free-range conversation on matters of liberty. All right, let's hop into the show. Hey there, everyone. Eric Brakey here, your host and renegade statesman, the new executive director of the Free State Project. Glad to be here with you this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, this is episode 4 of the Porcupine Report. It is Monday, February 19th when we record this. And I just want to thank you all for being here with us. Today, we're going to have a great program. I'm going to be interviewing Melissa Cream, the chair of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which is a great organization we'll be talking all about. They do excellent work. But before I get into that, let me do my traditional promo for our great event coming up. And I want to thank you all, to all of you who've already gotten your tickets. As more and more speakers are being announced, you're not going to want to miss out on the New Hampshire Liberty Forum. We've already, I know I talk a lot about our great keynote speakers. We have both Brian Kaplan of George Mason University, economics professor. He's going to be our keynote VIP speaker on Friday evening. If you have a VIP ticket, which you can purchase, you'll be able to see him over dinner. And then Saturday night, we're going to have the one, the only mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, the WWE superstar, Glenn Kane Jacobs. He will be joining us, ready to talk to us all about liberty as he's body slamming everyone in attendance. Okay, probably no body slamming, but you know that he could. So this will be Friday, March 15th to Sunday, March 17th. It's coming up sooner than you might think, so get your ticket now at nhlibertyforum.com. And prices go up on March 1st, so what are you waiting for? Grab your tickets. All right. That's our promo to start the show. All right, now for the meat and potatoes of the episode today. I am so excited. You know, the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, certainly if you live in New Hampshire and you love liberty, you've heard of it. And if you don't live in New Hampshire yet, what are you waiting for? Come for a visit at very least. You and if you love liberty and you don't live in New Hampshire, you must be jealous that your state does not have an organization like this, which is working in the state legislature to promote matters of liberty. 21 years, the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance has been in existence, a very similar time frame as the Free State Project itself. Its volunteer members have become unique fixtures at the New Hampshire State House for their thorough research into countless items of legislation up for consideration each and every year in Concord. Now, they publish on a weekly basis a handout. I know handouts sound boring, but these ones I'm told legislators actually hold on to and really really treasure for and value for the information there as they make their votes. It's called the Gold Standard. And the NHLA share their research voting recommendations to state legislators on the basis of whether a bill is pro-liberty or anti-liberty. And a lot of legislators who want to really be pro-liberty legislators and have good scores on that tend to give those a lot of weight. And with nearly a quarter of the state house holding strong liberty principles, the recommendations of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance have really become very significant in swaying a huge block in the legislature. So today we're going to welcome onto the program Melissa Cream. She is the chair of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. We're going to be talking about the organization, what they do, how they do it, and some of the history. So Melissa, welcome to the Porcupine Report.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much for being here today. So Melissa, you're the chair of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. Could you tell us a little bit about, I guess, the history of the organization? It's 21 years this has been going, and your involvement. How did you get involved?
Oh, yeah. So the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance did start in 2003. It is all volunteer, nonpartisan, and uniquely enough, or oddly enough, I guess is the word I'm going for, it was not started by Free Staters. It was started by native New Hampshire people, kind of independently of the Free State Project happening. The Free State, you know, there is this misnomer out there that it's a, we are the political wing of the Free State Project. That's not true. We are Liberty, and we agree with a lot of what the Free State Project is here for and what it's doing, but it was not started as part of that. So I would like to clear that up if I could. And again, it's all volunteer, nonpartisan. We are about principled liberty here. Not liberty because I think this is a good idea and everybody else should live this way. It's principled liberty, which is really tough to get out there, tough to teach people about. What is principled liberty, right? The non-aggression principle, all of that, stop using the state to get your way, type of thing. So it started in 2003. I became the chair in, when was it? 2020. I became the chair. The way I became chair was the former chair before me, Holly. She had to leave. She moved out of state. And so she had finished her two years of her term and was moving out. So she was stepping down. And so they did try to hold an election. No one ran for a chair at that time. And so the chair position was open. At that point, when I saw that there was no one stepping up, I said, well, I can do this. So I went to the board and I said, will you have me as your chair? They said, yes. And so I became chair in 2020. And then it's the way the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance does things is it's a two-year term. You can only do it twice. So I did get elected in April of 2022, I guess it was. And so this will be my final term. And that's the short story of how I became chair.
Well, thank you for serving there. And I do appreciate your clarification for folks that the NHLA and the Free State Project are wholly separate entities. And certainly there are many Free Staters who are involved and very appreciative of the work that everyone at the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance does. But you know what? The Liberty movement in New Hampshire is clearly built on both native Granite Staters who have always embodied that live free or die ethic, as well as people, coming to New Hampshire, just like many of their ancestors did in search, moving across from different parts of the world in search of freedom.
Yeah, and so, I'm not a Free Stater. I'll just tell you right now, yeah. I'm a Free Stater. I did move here from New York State over 30 years ago now, I guess it is. But I didn't sign that little pledge. But I totally support that independent spirit of New Hampshire. Yeah. And I'm so happy that the Free State Project is here helping to keep that alive.
Well, whether you came under the banner of the Free State Project or not, we're really glad to have you, especially I know you may have seen that New York State, where you moved from, was ranked the 50th for freedom in America. So that's quite an upgrade that you made 30 years ago.
Yep. The Empire State for a reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Free State, far better than the Empire State. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit about, I know that so much research goes into this this publication that the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance does. It's a weekly, as I understand it, weekly when the legislature is in session, the gold standard. Can you tell us a little bit more about that publication, how much work goes into it, how thoroughly many of the volunteers are researching these bills before the legislature?
Sure. So we... NHLA is reviewing, there's about 1,000 bills that are going through the State House every year. NHLA is going to review most of them, if not all. The goal is all of them. Some of them we don't need to review. So we have what's called a bill review system, and we do bill review training. So in the fall of every year, I organize, 3 to 4 bill review training sessions where we take you through bill review. And what makes a bill pro-liberty, what makes it anti-liberty? I'm going to digress a little bit here as I talk about this system.
Go right ahead.
One of my favorite parts of the bill review training is one of the slides we ask this question. One of this proposed bill says that students will be able, or parents of students will be able to opt out of surveys, you know, non-academic surveys. Is that liberty or anti-liberty? And so most people say, oh, that's liberty. That's definitely liberty. However, in that little slide, what we teach them is if you look at the current RSA that's available, the parents have to opt in for non-academic surveys. So our recommendation would have been anti-liberty. We want them parents to have to opt in for things versus opt out. So we take you through why. And so this is the kind of research that our volunteers are doing, is they're not just evaluating the bill as it stands as to whether it looks liberty or anti-liberty. They are looking at the current RSAs. What does the current RSA say? Is this an improvement for liberty or is this the opposite? You know, and so we go through this bill review system. Each bill is getting scored as they go through the system. And so it can get a plus 30 up to a minus 30, I believe. And a plus 30 is it's really pro-liberty, minus 30 anti-liberty. And then we create from that bill review system, from all of these volunteers reviewing these bills, the gold standard. And the gold standard is, you know, here's the title of the bill, here's the number of the bill, and here's it's anti-liberty, and here's why it's pro-liberty, and here's why, with 3 to 4 bullet points of why NHLA has determined this bill to be pro-liberty or anti-liberty. So it's not like we're just saying, you know, to these legislators, NHLA has said this is a pro-liberty bill and you should trust us. We say this is a pro-liberty bill because X, Y, and Z. And we tell them how to vote on the bill. And it's, this is, I do have, you know, a quick one that's going out this week. I think
love to see it.
Where's the, if I can find it, I thought I had it. Maybe I don't. Let's see here. Yeah. So it's not gold today, but that's the gold standard. And that's the one that's being, it's emailed to all our legislators. It is handed out. We have a group of volunteers that is at the State House every week. We get these printed and they are at the State House at the various doors that our legislators are coming in, handing them to the legislators. So they have a hard copy in their hand. They have the email. They can't miss it, really. And they, some of them vote with it, some of them don't. And what happens, we watch how they vote. So if we've told you to vote pro-liberty on this bill, we will watch whether or not you voted pro-liberty, because we do have, our political director is a state rep, and he will ask that the bills be roll called, or he'll have somebody else ask that the bill be roll called. So we get how they all voted. We create a score from that to rate our legislators from A plus liberty legislator all the way down to what we call a constitutional threat CT.
You know, I've always been so impressed with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance because, over my 10 years in electoral politics in Maine, which I'm exiting and moving to New Hampshire as soon as my term in the Senate is finished. it feels, it's a mixed blessing, but I'm excited to be joining a state with so many liberty-loving people. And I've always been so jealous. I've been so jealous sitting in the Senate, fighting oftentimes very lonely battles on liberty issues. And we have no Maine Liberty Alliance. There's no organization. And I don't know if, I guess I've heard of people who have been involved in the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance who for some reason have moved to other states and are like trying to start up kind of similar organizations, which great, more power to them. But I don't know of any organization in any state legislature focused on liberty like the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance is.
It's extremely unique. There are two that are trying to get started in two other states. Connecticut, of all places, is trying. We have a group of people there trying. Their legislature isn't set up as well as ours. It's going to be really hard there to get this done for a variety of reasons. We're fortunate in New Hampshire in many ways. I do say we're not lucky to have liberty because we have so many people who are fighting, giving their maximum effort and thousands of hours, honestly, to the fight for liberty in New Hampshire. So from the liberty perspective, I don't feel we're lucky. We work for it here. But in some ways we are fortunate in that our legislature is set up, our bills, we can see them ahead of time. We have access to them in New Hampshire, so we can readily get to them and review them like we do at NHLA. And to me, our legislature is only in session basically January to June. So there's only, you know, 6-7 months where liberty goes to die, if you will.
No man's life, liberty, or property is safe while the legislature's in session. So says right. Mark Twain.
So they, but in, you know, I think in Connecticut, it's more like a year round. Some are year round where they will be fighting these battles. You know, and it's not like we stop, but we at least get a little break. So there's different things that we're doing over the summer and the fall that we can kind of gear up for what I call the war of liberty here. We're in battle right now. When the legislature is in session, we're in battle and we need every man on the field.
Yeah. Well, now I know that New Hampshire is unique in that you've got 400 state legislators. And by the way, I think it's excellent that the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance not only is giving recommendations to people on how to vote if they want to value liberty, but also reporting back to people's constituents through these liberty report cards, you know, A plus through constitutional threat. I'm grateful. Growing up as a kid in school, I never saw anyone get a constitutional threat on their report card. But this is a unique situation. It's so important that, we get people on these roll call votes so that people can know, are their representatives actually representing what they believe? As far as kind of the report cards go, could you tell me a little bit more about that? And is this something that people in the legislature care how they're scored on this report card?
Oh yeah, they care. So we have, once the session is over, we will have Liberty Dinner. Liberty Dinner this year is July 20th. It's a ticketed event. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year for NHLA. And at Liberty Dinner, we will unveil the Liberty rating. So this was our 2023 Liberty rating. And in this is where you get your scorecard. So this comes out at Liberty Dinner and the reps get their copy. And because they attend dinner, a lot of them are there and they are opening it up to see what was my score and how did I do? And they will be like, why is this an A-? I should have been an A+. Well, you missed a vote. Like we do attendance is a big deal. We score you on the legislation that you submit. So if you submit a pro-liberty bill, you know, you get a quarter point for that. If the bill makes it through the House, you get a quarter point for that. If it makes it through the Senate, you get a quarter point for that. So it's in addition to your voting, we're looking at the legislation you're submitting and whether or not it's pro-liberty or anti-liberty. And of course, if it's an anti-liberty bill, you're going to lose an entire point. They do care. They really care. At least the liberty legislators care and they want to be an A+.
Yeah. So what's your score if you vote right on everything, you show up every day, but you're not like, but you're kind of a backbencher who doesn't put in any bills really? Like,
I would say that's probably an A-.
A-.
You know, you're voting with us because ultimately the getting the liberty vote is what we want. And so I have had legislators have said, look, you know, I didn't vote with you because I was playing politics at the state house. You know how it is. Oh, if you vote next time we'll vote for that. And it's this whole thing that they, NHLA, we hold their feet to the fire. We don't care. And having your feet held to the fire, as it turns out, is painful. And so we do hear from them, you know, I didn't vote because I had to X, Y, and Z. I was trying to make some sort of a deal. And so liberty, we don't deal. We're principled and we don't. So but I would say if you attend all the time and you vote with NHLA, you're probably an A+ to an A-.
Yeah. And to any, legislators or aspiring legislators watching, like, I think that's a very important lesson to highlight. You start trying to play backroom politics and you start sacrificing your voting record and you start, you know, compromising your principles to try to get this or that. It's like, that's the path to the dark side.
Be very careful. And liberty needs your vote. That's the thing. And so if we lose liberty because of one vote, and right now that's what's happening, right? Like, we are gaining liberty by one vote on some of these bills, and we are losing liberty by one or two votes on some of these bills. It's that tight right now in the New Hampshire State House. The numbers are so, so split.
Yeah, I've seen that. So it's 400 members and it's part in terms of partisan makeup, it's like right down the middle, right? It's just like a few votes either way.
Yeah, it's really kind of a deadlock. And, you know, if one swings one way or somebody's absent or takes a walk, we can lose. And it's I'm constantly, you know, I would love people who are thinking about moving to New Hampshire to understand that it's not as liberty as we are, as much as great as I think New Hampshire liberty is, we could still lose it. If we don't get liberty legislators elected, if we don't have them voting for liberty, liberty can be lost. And that's why we have to stay. NHLA is ever vigilant on behalf of liberty, principled liberty.
You know, I think it's such an important point to make, because I know I've experienced it. You know, in Maine, we were never kind of as high up on the freedom chart as New Hampshire has been, but we were moving in a good direction for a while. And you know, we passed constitutional carry. We were getting our income tax rates down. We were making a lot of progress. And then all it took was one bad election. And suddenly Democrats, and I know what, you know, we're all nonpartisan organizations, but, you know, liberty doesn't usually come from Democratic, you know, Democrats running everything. But Democrats took over our state. They took the governorship, the House, the Senate, and we have just been, it's felt like being on a sinking ship, sadly, these last couple of years because of one bad election. And in New Hampshire now is this, right? It's the shining beacon of liberty. It's the freest state in America. But you also, you look at it on a map, it's like the one free state in all of New England. I mean, some would say there aren't any other free states. Well, some states are freer than others. There's all relative conditions of tyranny we can live in the 50 different states. But I mean, compared to the rest of New England, like this is the fortress of freedom, the granite fortress of freedom in New Hampshire. And there is nothing more than so many of these lovers of progressive tyranny would love than to just snuff out that little light of liberty we have in New Hampshire. And so hopefully that, you know, here at the Free State Project, we bring in some reinforcements of people seeking liberty, and at the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, people can continue doing great work to hold the legislators accountable and to publish their records and let all the freedom-loving people of New Hampshire know how their representatives are voting.
Right. I want them to move here for all of the liberties. That's the thing too. NHLA isn't about, you know, your medical freedom or your Second Amendment freedom, your freedom of speech.
For the whole
NHLA
package.
Is about all of the liberties. So we don't believe that you can just have, you know, your medical freedom without your Second Amendment freedom.
Yeah.
Liberty is liberty. And we want you to be able to carry your gun. We want you to, you know, be able to run your business the way you want to run your business. So it's a lot of people can move here for liberty. And sometimes they think, oh, I need this kind of liberty, but now I want to tell you how to run your business. So I would encourage people to move here for the liberty, but understand New Hampshire is about all of the liberties, not one or two.
You know, I think, you know, I remember back as you're talking about that too. I remember Ron Paul's message when he was running back in 2008 and 2012. And he's the whole reason I'm in politics today. But I remember him kind of drawing this point of this artificial distinction that is made, that like there's personal liberty and there's economic liberty, and somehow these are separate things. And at the time, you know, Democrats were more for some of the personal liberties, you know, for privacy rights and for, people being able to marry who they want and cannabis rights and things like that. But then they wanted to tax the bejesus out of you and steal all your money. And then Republicans at the time were oftentimes, at least the rhetoric was, you know, low taxes, low, you know, spending, but boy, did they want to be in your bedroom telling you kind of what you can do in your personal life. And Ron Paul was the one who said, you know, what's the difference? Like, why do we have this artificial divide in what liberty is? You know, why is it your liberty over your property is different than the liberty over your own body and your own life and what you do with it? It is really great to see an organization that is consistent, has a consistent understanding of liberty, and not like, you know, like I know in the Maine legislature, I'm often dealing with progressives who I can work with on a number of issues, and progressive organizations like the Maine you know, the ACLU, which is great on so many civil liberties issues. But then, you know, you talk to some of those same people on economics and it falls apart. So you find allies where you can, but boy, is it great when people get the whole package.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that we do. We work with other organizations, the ACLU included. I was getting emails from them about, I think it was Bill HB 1002, the Right to Know Bill. So there are things we are in agreement on. And so, yes, we are pro cannabis at NHLA. We're pro all the drugs, to be honest. But let's start there and get that legal in New Hampshire. I mean, the medical side is good, but you know, come on, like it's time, New Hampshire. It's time. Come on.
I will say, you know, I've done a lot of work on cannabis policy in Maine. And that is the one thing as I move into New Hampshire, I'm a little disappointed New Hampshire is a little behind on. But I know it's because New Hampshire doesn't have a referendum process. And so many states have passed it through referendum when legislatures have dragged their feet, including the Maine legislature did over time. But of course, referendums are such double-edged swords. I've seen so many terrible policies passed through referendum from we're going to tax, you know, the uber rich who don't actually, you know, never works out that way. Right. That's how we got the income tax in the first place. Right.
And there are cannabis bills coming. I think that New Hampshire will get it through. It will happen. It's just a matter of time. It's coming. It's just we're a little slow on that end of things.
All right. Well, we've all got work to do. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
So what have been some of the more, I know on this program, we're very excited and we're following the Defend the Guard bill that's moving through the New Hampshire legislature, past the New Hampshire House of Representatives. On episode one, we spoke with Representative Tom Mannion, who was a freshman legislator, was very involved in that effort. Very excited about that. Curious to see how it does in the Senate. Interesting to see that one of the candidates for governor in the Republican primary supporting it, former Senate President Chuck Morse. Is there anything? That's an issue that we've been following. We've been excited about. What are some of the issues that you've been following? You've been excited about in the legislature this year? Any good battle stories this year to share?
Any good battle stories this year? I'm trying. Well, the one they call it the suicide bill. That bill is the amount of people going to testify on that. So that is where we are trying to say that if you have less than 6 months to live, if you and your doctor have determined that you have less than 6 months to live, you should be allowed to, especially, you know, considering the ending of your life, you know, you may be allowed to take some medication that allows you to check out peacefully, you know? And so that has been, you know, it's kind of like live free, die free type of thing. People are calling it the suicide bill. Religion is getting worked into that because people want, you know, their relationship with God to be my relationship with God, again, forcing their opinions on, you know, maybe me or someone else. So I'm following that one. I'm for that bill. I think it's a liberty bill. I think it's your body. Yeah. And if you're going to be dying anyway, you know, and it's you and your doctor's decision, let someone have a peaceful end, you know. I've seen people die. I've watched loved ones suffer. My mother comes to mind. I've watched her suffer in her dying. And if that can be avoided for someone, now I don't think she would have done it. My mother would not have wanted that, but I think for someone that did, that should be a choice. So that's what I'm watching.
I know, you know, I've struggled with those bills when they've come before me when I was on the Health and Human Services Committee. And it certainly is like, if we own our bodies, we own our life, you know, we should be able to check out on our own terms when, particularly when someone has a debilitating terminal condition who is kind of at the end of their rope, and the only other option would be just like months of excruciating pain. I was just talking with a good friend who herself is facing something like that right now. She is terminal cancer. She's still fighting though. But, you know, she was telling me about a friend of hers who went through, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and just kind of that point of just losing just control of your body and everything. And at a certain point, while that person was in a state with a, I've heard it called a death with dignity law, they were, by the time they wanted to, were interested in taking advantage of it, they couldn't administer it themselves. And it was kind of too late for them to be able to do that. But so I will say, you know, the one question I struggle with there is how do you prevent something like that from becoming? I don't know if you've like heard about the MAID program in Canada, where they've expanded it to like, you can even get like a, you can even get this if you are mentally ill, or it's expanded so far in Canada, and particularly with their socialized healthcare system, you wonder to a degree, like, is this being recommended to people on the basis of, we just don't want to pay for your treatment?
A slippery slope. I mean, but people take their lives without this, right? So I think of Robin Williams, who I believe got a diagnosis he didn't, you know, want. And, you know, people are capable of taking their lives regardless of this.
Yeah.
So I do, you know, I come down to, again, that was their body, their choice. That's what they determined to do. And so some people are capable of doing this without your law. And, oh, it's illegal, but I'm gone.
Yeah.
So
you better not succeed in killing yourself. We're going to put you in jail.
Yeah. And I understand the slippery slope, but I think, you know, we take it one step at a time and we look at these things. And, you know, I do think, you know, the crisis of the family is a big deal, and we need to work on better families, better, you know, better mental health care in general.
Well, I appreciate that. And certainly that's an issue to watch. And I know a good friend, person who's become a good friend since I've joined the Free State Movement, Dennis Pratt. I know he's a big supporter of the Free State Movement. He's organized Pork Fest for several years, and I know he's a big supporter of this bill. He's been talking to me a bit about it. So shout out to Dennis Pratt for his work on this and his involvement in the Free State Movement. Any other issues going on this year worth discussing? Or at least I'm sure every single volunteer in the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance has their bill, you know, their own bill that they're especially excited about or working on.
It is. It's fun. Everybody has their thing, right? And so I can say what I have, but I haven't even followed it myself. I haven't had time. But one of the things I saw that was coming out was that, you know, and this is kind of minor compared to what we just discussed, but they are looking at having me I ride an electric bike to work.
Yeah.
And the bill was you're going to have to register your electric vehicle, whether it's the electric unicycle or your electric bike. And there's all these rules now that they want to put on my bicycle. And I'm just I'm horrified. I'm like, I just want a bike to work. I think biking is awesome. My electric bike has been life-changing for me. Honestly, I always biked to work, with a regular, you know, non-electric bike. And it was just, there's one hill that just, I always dreaded it in the morning. My electric bike helps me cruise right up that hill. No problem.
Yeah.
I look forward to the ride. I'm not taking a parking space. I'm not using gas. I am, I think for people of lower income, it's a cheap way to get around. And to start adding a cost of having to register an electric bike now on top of a purchase, I think is absurd for people. And so, I mean, and that there are all different kinds of these electric vehicles out there. My electric bike doesn't even look like the ones with the fatter tires and the bigger, it doesn't look like a small moped. My bike looks like a bike. So when I saw that one, I got really kind of angry. And I said, I don't care if this passes, I'm not registering it. I'm riding my bike and they should just leave me alone. I'll wear my helmet, even though that I don't have to do. I wear my helmet and leave me alone. So I'm not going to put a sticker on my bike, my pretty bike. I don't want their sticker. So that one's got me hooked up.
We won't register our electric bikes and we won't register our guns.
No. It's my private property.
Well, you know, you say it's a small issue, and certainly, like, I'm certain in the grand scheme of things, you know, it might seem like it is a small issue, but it is these small little paper cuts of tyranny that add up. And and when you don't have an organization that is combing through all of the bills and holding people accountable for the big tyrannies and the little tyrannies, those small tyrannies, you know, even if the big attention grabbing headline things don't pass, all these little small just ways that the government just intrudes into the every nook and cranny of your life. It's tyranny by a million cuts. And it's great. It's great that the NHLA is looking at every single bill.
Well, and I'm grateful. I have to, you know, shout out to all our volunteers that do comb through these bills and read them. And because I have read through them, and on occasion, not a lot, I'll be honest, I'm running the organization. I'm not necessarily reading every bill, but I have gone to the working sessions and read through them. And for me personally, it is so upsetting, because they're in every little nook and cranny of your life. Yeah. And granted, we may not even realize it, but you know, it just gets so, really, they want to pass a law about this? Come on. Like, can we just, why aren't we done yet? That's my question. Why can't we be done? So yeah, I give a huge shout out to the volunteers who are doing our bill reviews, who are willing to put themselves through that, you know, landscape of, they want to, you know, determine whether or not you can put a tomato in your front yard. You know, come on. Yeah. Like, I am grateful to all of them. I'm grateful to everybody who hands out the gold standard each week. I'm grateful to everybody who's supporting NHLA in one form or another. And I'm grateful to our founders, the people that started this whole thing, and those who came before me and kept it going. That huge shout out.
Now, let's say that you are someone who's either been in New Hampshire a long time or just moved to New Hampshire, or maybe is even in the process of moving to New Hampshire and maybe is has a lot of legislative experience in another state, and you want to get involved with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. How would you get involved? What are the kinds of things you can get plugged into?
So first thing you need to do is join nhliberty.org/join. So you want to join our organization. Once you're joined, you can decide on your own what you want to subscribe to. You'll get our newsletter each month. You'll get the activist alert. So I didn't talk about the activist alert, but that comes out every week. So every Sunday, we do review the bills. We're kind of triaging them because there are committee hearings where the membership can go and testify on these bills. So every week on Sunday nights, Sunday afternoon, I think it comes out, you're going to get the activist alert. And that is telling you, okay, HB 1258 is coming up for a hearing at the legislative office building at 1 p.m. And it's on, you know, the suicide bill. And so you can go and testify for that bill or against that bill, as the case where we put in there a quick little blurb about whether or not it's of interest to NHLA, whether we think we want to support that bill or if we're going to oppose that bill. We don't put the why there. So that's been kind of an issue, but we don't have time to put the why there. And we want our membership to determine for themselves the why. So they should be looking at it. So if NHLA is saying, hey, we support HB 1258, and then we have what it is, read it, go look at it, and make a determination about why NHLA might support it. And then your testimony should be your testimony as to why you want it supported. So that's where that's coming from. So the activist alert, you can be involved with that and go testify on behalf of NHLA. You can't say you're on behalf of NHLA, because only board members are allowed to do that. But you can help us by supporting the bills we support and opposing the bills we oppose at the committee hearings each week. There is a volunteer tab in there on the website. You can request to volunteer for us. We need help handing out gold standards. We need help doing bill review. If you want to do bill review now, we do have in-person training typically in the fall of the year. If you want to do it now, we'll send you a link to an online training that you can do. And then once you do that, you can get, we'll get you set up to do the training. We'll get you into that system to do the actual bill reviews themselves. And then I don't know, I can find work for you. We're going to be at Liberty Forum. We're having a table All at right. Liberty Forum. So we can always have volunteers working our tables and handing out. We're going to have swag set for sale this year. That's I think a first for us. I've got sweatshirts and t-shirts, and we have a mystery box raffle. You're going to have to win it to find out what's in it.
Awesome.
Yeah, there are opportunities in NHLA. I'm not the greatest bill reviewer. I'll just be honest. I look at these bills, and I, as libertarian as I am, as pro-liberty as I am, there'll be a bill, I don't know, that says everybody should run a mile every morning. And I'm like, you know, that's a really good idea. I'm for that, you know? And so I have to check myself and say, no, that's forced. The state should not be forcing people to do that. And so I struggle with bill review. So it's okay. Bill review is not your thing. We totally get that. We'll find a place for you.
A lot of ways to help out. And it's great mm-hmm. to hear you guys are going to be joining us at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum. Another good reason that folks should grab their ticket now before prices go up on March 1st. Come join us and the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. All right. Any final words, any final thoughts you want to share with folks before we wrap up for the evening?
Final words, final thoughts. I will say NHLA is my favorite organization, probably in America, in the United States. I think that our work for liberty, if you want to be ever vigilant for liberty, this is the organization to do it. I wish it was everywhere. I wish we could get it out there everywhere. Hopefully we will. It's a lot of work. It's good work, and it is fighting for liberty and keeping us free. And if you value your freedom, then you should be valuing NHLA. And I just love it. So,
well, I can tell you that when I finish up in the Maine State Senate and I make the move to New Hampshire, I'm looking forward to getting involved with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. I mean, all this legislative experience, I got to do something with it, right? So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to being a volunteer and helping out how I can. It's really great to know that there is such a strong institution promoting liberty at the state house. So we're not just reliant on politicians to do the right mm-hmm. thing, right? We've got a lot of good people there who are inclined to do the right thing, but that we also have this institution that's really doing the research and holding people accountable. So, Melissa, thank you so much for the work that you are doing, the work that everyone at the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance is doing. And let's keep making New Hampshire the freest state in America.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we go, though, I've got to give you our final promo for the evening, which is, of course, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. You definitely want to get your tickets to Pork Fest, because it's Pork Fest. It's everyone in the liberty world knows Pork Fest. It is like the libertarian Burning Man. It is something not to be missed. It is a family-friendly freedom festival. It is the largest liberty festival in America. June 17th to the 23rd at Rogers Campground in beautiful, beautiful Lancaster, New Hampshire. Ron Paul is joining us. He's going to be coming in virtually. He doesn't travel as much as he used to. Ron Paul's getting up there in years, which is why it is so great that he's going to be joining us virtually to speaking with the attendees at Pork Fest. You aren't going to miss what he has to say. And of course, joining us in person are so many of your favorite libertarians, 2,000 plus of your favorite libertarians, including Scott Horton, Gene Epstein, Jeffrey Tucker, James Bovard, David Friedman, and so many more. This is not to be missed. Grab your tickets at porkfest.com. That's pork with a C, not with a K, because if you go to porkfestwithak.com, you're gonna get some delicious barbecue probably, but you won't be at the family-friendly Freedom Festival that you know you belong. That's where you belong with us this June. There are only 300 tickets left at the almost early bird pricing. And this event does sell out. So get your tickets, act now, bring your friends, bring your family. Again, did I mention this is a family-friendly Freedom Festival? Over 400 kids were in attendance last year. People are bringing their families, so bring yours and reserve your campsite while supplies last. Space is very limited. So go to porkfest.com. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 4 of the Porcupine Report. Thank you to our wonderful guest, Melissa Cream of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. And I also want to say thank you to our technical producer, Justin O'Donnell, for running everything behind the scenes. Furthermore, my opinion is the Federal Reserve should be destroyed. Good night.